Please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. In verse 1, then after 14 years, I, that is Paul, went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who have reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. In this first verse, after 14 years, a stretch of time, when Paul was over in Asia Minor, he went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. Barnabas, as you know, well know, was a faithful and loyal friend of Paul's who joined him on missionary journeys. But we first got to know Barnabas in the book of Acts. And if you remember in chapter 4, I think verse 36, he was known as Joses or Joseph. And he was named by the apostles as Barnabas, also which meant the son of encouragement. And what's known about him is that this is the time when the church is coming together. All of the believers are coming together. They're selling things. They're laying them at the apostles' feet and for the needs of other people. And Barnabas, or Joses, is one of them. He has a piece of land that he sells, and he gives the money to the apostles. That's where we first meet Barnabas. And then later on in chapter 9 of Acts, you'll see more of him as helping introduce Paul to the churches because of the fear of Paul. They wouldn't let him get to the apostles, and Barnabas was the one that convinced them to let Paul meet with them. The other person, Titus, with Paul and Barnabas, he's not mentioned in the book of Acts, but better yet, he's got a letter addressed to him from Paul in the book of Titus. And you know that Titus was a young preacher established there by Paul, and Paul, in writing that letter to Titus, is encouraging him to put in order the church of Crete by appointing elders and spiritually strong men and women to help put this church in order. It was a little bit of chaotic over there in Crete. So that's where we learn of Titus. And these are two companions of Paul that have been with him there in Asia Minor, teaching at the churches there. In verse 2 it says, and I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Paul here, as he came back to Jerusalem, he was communicated to him and was up by revelation to him to go there. And the purpose of that was to meet with the pillars of the churches there in Jerusalem, of course, that being Peter, James, John, and others, and to confirm with them that it was him that was taking the step and the teaching power to the Gentiles and what he was teaching them. And he just wanted affirmation from them that he wasn't going and doing this in vain, but that, yes, he was the one that was to reach out to the Gentiles and teach the gospel to them out there. And this was a confirmation that he wanted from these pillars. Interestingly, it said he went up, and I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach. The word revelation, in its most basic form, it means to communicate. But it's a prophetic word. If you want a definition, revelation is to unveil, uncover, or disclose, or manifest. This is the simplest part of revelation that we understand. But there are more deeper sense and understanding of what revelation is. It can be a prophetic spiritual word from God. It can be a communication or an oracle from God. And there are two beautiful examples of what Paul here had received in an oracle or in a communication from God is back in Luke chapter 2. If you'll turn to in your Bibles to page or to chapter 2, starting in verse 25, you know this event that takes place. It's a beautiful opening to our Lord and Savior as a baby. And it's Simeon in the temple. And in verse 25, it said, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of law, and he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and then Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" Here Simeon receives an oracle from God. And an oracle can be one of two things. It can be an answer from God to a question you had, or it can be a direction from God, even though you had not asked of it or even thought of it. And in this case, with Simeon, I believe here he's received this communication, this oracle, divine spiritual oracle from God, into response to a question that Simeon had. As you look, he was a just and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. Just to all men and women, and devout to God. And he was awaiting for a consolation, the consolation of Israel, that would be the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. So Simeon, being a devout man, more than likely had studied the scriptures, those of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, and knew of Daniel's prophecy and of the day that the Messiah, or the time when the Messiah would be near. And his question probably had been to God, when is the Messiah coming? Is he this? It's so close. Is he coming now? Is it near? And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is one where Simeon didn't ask of it, but the Holy Spirit made this claim, imparted to him that he would not die before he saw the Lord Christ, the Lord's Christ. So you see these two revelations here. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And in most of the times, and I would say pretty much all the time, revelation comes through the Holy Spirit. You see him active in a lot of this. Verse 27, "So he came by Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said," remember what the Holy Spirit told Simeon, that he would see him before he would see death. The better part of this is that he gets to hold the Savior in his arms, clutch him to his breast, to his heart. And now he gets to sing or recite a hymn to God and bless him. And so he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. This revelation, now this is one where I do believe also it's the same word used for Paul when he went up to Jerusalem to communicate. It's that same word, same revelation. This one is a special order and direction from a word from God. And to Paul, or here in case of Simeon, who had not sought a word from God, but it was a prophetic word. And many times in our lives, and I've been witness to it and been participant of it here at church, this communication, this revelation from God, it's just been amazing over the years to see what God has revealed to us, unknown to us, and then to see it come true so quickly is just incredible. But so he's bringing a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. So what does this mean from Simeon? I mean, there are two passages that he would have known of. The first one would have been in Isaiah chapter 42. If you'll turn there with me. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6, these are what would have been in Simeon's heart. This is would have been part of his study, his devoutness to God's word, his desire to know God. And in chapter 42, or verse 6, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, speaking to the children of Israel, as a light to the Gentiles. The other one, still in Isaiah, again, is the same thing repeated by God in Isaiah 49, verse 6. Indeed, he says, this is God, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant, speaking to the tribes of Israel, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. So, the Holy Spirit giving revelation to Simeon, and in his heart and in his direction to his mind, he comes up with this hymn, or you could even say a poem, to recite to God. And this is that revelation that came without asking. It's just a divine direction from God. Now, this light of the world, well, we know this perfect light. And the first one, of course, is in Luke chapter 1. If you go back to the beginning of Luke, chapter 1, verse 79, it is Jesus, or it is Zechariah. And Zechariah had been John's father, John the Baptist's father. And he, through the Holy Spirit, prophesied this prophecy, which is another way of revelation. It's another meaning and understanding of revelation. And in the last verse of Zechariah's prophecy, it says in verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and a shadow of death, to guide our feet into a way of peace. And speaking of John the Baptist's ministry coming up and being the one to direct everyone to Jesus Christ. The other one, also known, is in John chapter 8. Verse 12. And in here, we get that confirmation and we get the truth of it. John chapter 8, verse 12. This is Jesus. As he faced an adulteress an Estonian of Antultris. And after talking, after everybody clears out, and he's talking to the woman, and he says in verse 10 of chapter 8, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So all these are revelations or communications, divinely inspired communications that we'll see throughout. Paul uses it many times in his communications or in his letters, in the epistles. It is used as a prophetic word to in many of his letters or epistles or through the apostles. It is a response to a question, revelation will be. And it is just God sending a divine spiritual message to you or to a person without their even having asked of it. It's just a beautiful gift that God will give. And he'll use anybody to give this revelation. So a really good example of a revelation is here in Romans chapter 8. Paul, writing in this beautiful epistle to the Romans. In chapter 8, Paul writes in verse 19, from suffering to glory. And he's explaining what we're going to go through and the suffering we're going to go through. And it says in verse 19 of chapter 8 of Romans, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God." So let's back it up, verse 18 first. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us." That revealing in verse 19 is the same word that's used in Galatians chapter 2. It's saying all nature waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. The world does, the creation does. From the very start, when sin entered creation, all of creation suffered from that. The land, not just Adam and Eve, not just mankind, but the earth itself, the moon and the stars, the sun, the universe, all of this went off kilter when sin entered the creation. And now all nature here on earth, all creation awaits that revealing from God, of those who are going to be the sons of God. When we stand before him eagerly and he reveals to us the sons of God, we are his children and we are sons and daughters of God. Also in Romans 16, verse 25, very last chapter, it's a benediction. And a benediction is a prayer. It's given many times at the end of things. And also, it includes at the very end, I'm going to blank on this word, but let's go to verse 25 of Romans 16. And this benediction: "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and a preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience and to the faith," and in the doxology, "to God, alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." In this benediction, that word revelation there in verse 25, again, is the same one used for Paul's revelation. All nature waits expectantly and it longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. And according to Revelation, and here, this is an unveiling of the mystery. That mystery that was known to the patriarchs, to the fathers before them. This mystery of a Messiah who is going to redeem the world. And this is what this revelation is, given to Paul, now that he has all knowledge and all that, he's sharing this with the Romans here in this letter. In 1 Corinthians, the next gospel over, in verse 14, it says, Paul, in speaking, talks about revelation of one in tongues, when one speaks tongues, or prophesies, or receives gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 14:6, tongues must be interpreted. And Paul says this, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? So Paul, if he's just spoken tongues, but there was nobody there to interpret by revelation, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, to translate what he was speaking, then it's useless to anybody speaking in tongues. Because you need that revelation, you need that communication, that spiritual direction and guidance by God to explain what was being said in tongues. In verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So eagerly pursue it. You pursue that love and the desire of spiritual gifts. In verse 6, of course, he said, I speak to you with tongues. It's a revelation, disclosure of God's will by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching. And Paul is explaining to them that it's not a status quo or status position if you can speak tongues, but there is no one there to give the translation or the understanding of it. So it's for him, revelation and prophecy was more important. And he'd wish that all had prophesied. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, again, Paul, as he continues to write to the Corinthians, in chapter 12, in verse 1, he's talking about his vision in paradise. Now, here, Paul, this revelation that was given to him was unknown, and that it was going to be coming to him. And he's explaining to the church here this vision of paradise. And he doesn't want to brag about it. He doesn't want to sound like he's boastful about this. But he's, of course, speaking of the third heaven. And in verse 1, it says, of chapter 12, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Continue on in 2. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. That third heaven, what's he mean? Well, the first heaven, of course, is where the clouds are. And man, well, we've reached the clouds. We fly above the clouds. The second one would be, of course, in space. Man has reached that point too, landing on the moon and exploring in space. But one man from here, well, I shouldn't say one man, but there have been men throughout the history of the Bible that have reached that third heaven, the heaven where God lives and resides. And that's what he's speaking of. In this heaven, he was drawn up. I know such a man, in verse 3, whether in body or out of body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. For such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. In verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger to Satan to buffet me, lest I exalted above measure. It's this unveiling of the third heaven that he's speaking of here. And he didn't want anybody to exalt him above measure for the abundance of the revelations that he's had and has received. And Paul here wants, in a sense, to understand, make them understand, because of the continued lies told about him, the disparaging of his character, the trying to downgrade his importance. He's talking here of the things that were given to him by God, the revelations that were imparted to him from Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And this is in response to these continual backstabbings on him as he's fighting to keep the churches anchored in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He continues this in Ephesians, and talks about revelation as insight and wisdom. In Ephesians 1:17, chapter 1, verse 17, it's a prayer for spiritual wisdom. And he says in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let's back it up to verse 15 and put it a little bit better context. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in a knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches and glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 17, that wisdom, well, it's insight into the mysteries and the secrets. That the Father of glory had imparted, the Holy Spirit had imparted to Paul. The revelation, well, that's deep and intimate knowledge of God. In here, Paul praying for that they receive a spirit of wisdom, giving him insight into the mysteries and the secrets of Jesus Christ, of the Lord, of God coming down as a man, and redeeming us through his crucifixion and the resurrection of him after the third day. And in the revelation, in the knowledge of him, is that deep and an intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul is praying for the church in the Ephesians, praying for this knowledge to be imparted to them and this deep, intimate knowledge, this revelation of Jesus Christ, a deeper understanding through the Holy Spirit. In chapter 3, verse 3 of Ephesians, the mystery is revealed to them. And for this, for this reason, in verse 1 of chapter 3, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, that dispensation that means stewardship. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Again, Paul explaining to them that what the people, Judaizers that are coming into the church and disrupting it and making it, spreading this unbelief of just faith alone and Jesus Christ alone, but that they have to follow the Mosaic law. He's explaining to them that the revelation, he's made known that mystery about the faith in Jesus Christ. He's telling them, this church in to the Ephesians, I've already written this stuff. You know of this. And you, when you read this, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So reading these letters, and the letters shared throughout, if they are part of a circular letter to be spread around, and reading them, they understand and they know that his knowledge about the mystery of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, as we continue on, all of these are the same word used in Galatians for Peter, for Paul in his revelation. And in chapter 1, verse 7, of course, this is a heavenly inheritance that Peter is talking about. He's talking about the suffering that we're going to go through. And here it is, a revelation to the readers of this epistle of Peter's, to the Jews and also to the Gentiles, that our sufferings is for a purpose of glorifying God, to bring glory to God. And he's revealing this. He's lifting the veil that has been before them on their sufferings, because they are going through a tremendous amount of suffering. And in verse 7 of chapter 1, Peter says, let's back it up to verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Three things that we talked about last time in being glorified. There's the praise, there's the honor, there's the thankfulness, being genuine in your faith. These are to glorify God in our sufferings, in our trials. The more you've been tried, the brighter you will appear if you rejoice and you go through these trials. And who witnesses that? Not just God in heaven, not just Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, but the hosts of heaven. They are the ones to notice that glow about you if you can face these trials as though you were gold that went through the fire, and now it's just pure and precious. The trial eventually will come to an end, but the glory, the honor, and that praise that you bring to God, that glorification that you bring to God, will last till eternity. And all the hosts of heaven will see that and be part of that. In verse 13 of chapter 1 in 1 Peter, it's living before our God, the Father. And Peter goes on to say, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope perfectly. Trust without doubting to the grace which is in the gospel. This word that we read, that was shared, that will continue long after this world has gone away. If you hope perfectly and you trust without doubting in this word, which is the grace of God, it is the gift of God, this word. There's one more that I wanted to share with you. And in this one, it is a revelation of blessing to us. And you know it. And it's so powerful because it's what ends the Bible. And what tells us the end of all things that come and have been on this earth. And in the book of Revelation, in the very first chapter, it opens with that same word that is used in Galatians 2, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, that is John, one of the apostles, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. John, here in writing this, he is a witness to the word, the living word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ. He saw the resurrected Jesus Christ after the crucifixion, being dead and buried. He saw the resurrection, and now he's sharing this revelation of Jesus Christ. And to those who read it, to those who read this book, it is a blessing. This is a revelation of blessing. And it says in verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So a word of prophecy, revelation, it is unveiling, uncovering, disclosing, disclosure, manifest, written here in these epistles and in these letters to the churches, all wrapped up here at the very end, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that blessing and all those who read it. And look at it from a different, or look at it with different eyes now when you see Revelation. It's more than just the unveiling. It's more than just the disclosure or the manifestation. There's a deeper understanding of it, that it is a word communicated to us from a question we may have. It is an oracle that God will give spiritual direction through a divine word to us, even though we weren't searching it out or thinking about it. But it'll also be a divine word given from a prayer. One of the fun things and revelation that happened to me, and I remember this years ago, we came in here on a winter day, and there was no heat. Even though the furnace was running, we weren't getting any heat in here. And we're about a half hour to maybe an hour to a half hour away from service starting. And we're trying to think of what can we do to warm this up. We had opened the door to the furnace. It was running. You could tell it's supposed to be cranking out heat. And we are getting nothing but cold air pumped in. Even though the thermostat set on heat, it's up, you know, 75 degrees, we get nothing. For no reason that I know of, other than a revelation from God, I would pray that God would somehow fix this. And how are we going to do this? It was brought to my mind from something way back when, that the exhaust pipe or the intake pipe outside the church here on this side of the building may have had snow packed into it, which didn't allow it to draw in air. And Lola and I, we ran on to the back and to the side there, and sure enough, the pipe was positioned in a way that a east wind packed that with snow and filled it up. And once that snow was cleared out of there, we came back in here. You could feel the heat coming through this, into this room. It was so neat. It was just a special time, one that I will never forget. Didn't ask to fix it myself, but through his revelation, through his spiritual communication, he directed my thoughts to something that I have heard of a long time ago. that just might be what the problem is. And it worked out just fine. So when you think of Revelation, you read about Revelation, it's more than just the obvious of an unveiling or a manifestation, making things known. There's a deeperness, deeper sense to it, that he is going to bless you, he's going to speak to you, and he's going to give you spiritual direction and insight and knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Abba, Father, we thank you and praise you for the revelation that promises so much to our lives, Lord. It's revealed your heart to us. More than anything, the revelation brought by this Bible reveals your heart to us, your character, and your will to us. It is the spiritual, divinely given word that will direct us in our lives and in our life and through everything that we face daily and through the years, Lord. It's truly a blessing. And thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness towards us in revealing your will to us, that we are not left guessing or wondering or making things up on who God is, but you reveal to us through your word, through that revelation, just who you are, an awesome, powerful, loving, righteous, and just God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.